living to go to the class now.
Good morning. If you have a Bible, I would encourage you to open it to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8. If you don't have a Bible along with you, we've strategically displayed them on the back of the pews in front of you. And they're little black books, and that would be page 813. Matthew, chapter 8, verse 18. We will be in a passage today that most human writers label the cost of following Jesus. This is a description of the passage. It is not scripture. It is an opinion. In this case, I do agree with it. We are going to look at the cost of following Jesus. So where we are after the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus has taught, and now he has healed, and he has cast out demons, and great crowds, as you can imagine, have developed and are following him. And that is where we pick it up in Matthew chapter 8, verse 18. Now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. And a scribe came up and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." Let's pray together. Father God, we come to you this morning looking at this passage of scripture. And Father, really, there is nothing I can say, and nobody in here can even hear, except that you empower us to do so through your Spirit. So I do pray, Father, you would anoint me to proclaim the truth of this passage with authority and power. And I do pray, Father, that your Spirit then opens ears and eyes to hear and to see the truth of this passage. May your word accomplish exactly what you have intended for it to do today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You don't have to turn there, but in Matthew 16, verses 24 and 26, this is written. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" Following Jesus is no joke. Following Jesus. He commands and he demands that we are all in. Jesus is like no one who has ever walked the face of the earth ever. He teaches with great wisdom and all authority. He came and his fame spread as he healed all of the sick brought to him. His fame spread as he healed those afflicted with various diseases and all kinds of pains. His fame spread as he cast out demons. Those having seizures and paralytics came to him, and he healed them, and great crowds were following him. Who wouldn't want to follow this Son of Man? In our time, we're going to look at three criteria for following Jesus in our time today. One, we're going to look that it takes sacrifice, complete sacrifice. We need to give up our very lives to follow Jesus. Second, we're going to look at commitment. It takes total commitment, total commitment. Jesus, following Jesus is never anything but priority number one in our lives. And third, we'll get this from the parallel passage in Luke. Third, we're going to look at dedicated service. Dedicated service. Following Jesus is all about serving him. So, complete sacrifice, total commitment and dedicated service. Let's look at complete sacrifice first. Look down at our passage in verse 18. Jesus begins, "Now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. So the crowd was around him, and he gave orders to go to the other side." If you look down to verses 23 and 24, we can see what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about boarding a boat and going to the other side of a sea. So he was about to leave the crowds, get in a boat, and go to the other side of the sea. We read in verse 19, "And a scribe came up and said to him, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go.'" I will follow you wherever you go. Now, a scribe is a teacher of the law. And if you look down to verse 21, the second person is described as another disciple. Another disciple. This then would insinuate that the scribe was a disciple as well, if it's another disciple. In the passage in Luke, we'll look at a third man who is described simply as yet another man. When these men are described as disciples, they are not one of the 12 called disciples. They are men who have followed along for some time and have made some kind of commitment to Jesus. So they are, in essence, a follower or a disciple. The most important truth to remember about these men is that they heard Jesus' teaching, they had witnessed the healing, and they had witnessed and perhaps even experienced the miracles he was performing. So the scribe says to Jesus, "I will follow you anywhere. I will follow you anywhere." He knows that Jesus is about to cross the sea, and he says, "I will follow you anywhere." This is a simple profession, right? This is simple. I'll follow you anywhere. It has deep, deep ramifications, but it is without meaning unless it is followed through on. Jesus hears this man, and in essence, he says, "Then consider this. If you're going to follow me everywhere, then consider this." Verse 20. "And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.'" Nowhere to lay his head. Based on the context, the word "lay" carries with it an ownership of a place where one may rest. This is ownership of a place where one may rest. The same word is used at the cross when Jesus bows his head. His ministry was over. That's when he rested. Jesus is telling this man, and all who were listening and at that time, and Jesus is telling us right here and right now, if you are genuine in your desire to follow me, then this is what it looks like. You must be detached from all the worldly possessions, up to and including a place to rest your head. You will be uncomfortable. I'm on the move, and you must be too. In order to follow Jesus, we must deny ourselves and completely sacrifice everything. We must not hold back anything in our hearts. We need to give it all to God. Let's think about it. What do you hold back from God? If God had a different location for you to move, would you pack up and go? If God had something for you to sell to help the cause of the gospel, would you sell it? These are questions we all need to be considering at all times, including me. "I will follow you anywhere, Jesus," he says. Jesus says, "I don't even have a place to rest my head. Are you going to come along?" Complete sacrifice. Second, we're going to look at total commitment. Verse 21. "Another of the disciples said to him, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.'" This man, we could say, is quick to verbally commit, but slow to act. slow to follow. Jesus, I'll follow you, but it will have to wait. I need to bury my father. Burying a father is important to everyone, but for the Jews it had a deep, deep obligation. A man who was burying his father was actually exempt from many of the important religious activities that he should be doing, like saying daily prayers, or studying the law, or temple service, observation of circumcision, even exempt from killing of Passover sacrifice. Also, performing the last rites properly was of great importance. And the son would have wanted to be at the funeral to be sure the last rites were spoken correctly. And we don't know the exact circumstances, but the body was usually buried on the day the person died. So for him to be standing there saying, I need to bury my father, could even mean that the five-day mourning period afterward was still happening. And it was very important for the son to be present during the mourning period. Another thought on this is the term itself, bury my father, could have also meant something similar to assisted living in hospice care. And he could have been with him a few years. It would be the son's obligation to take care of his father over the last final years of his life, and it would be called burying my father. So no matter which way you take it, the essence he is saying to Jesus is, I will follow you after my father dies and is buried and the mourning period is over. Either way, this man was delaying his calling from Jesus. And Jesus' response was a command and a sharp rebuke. Verse 22. And Jesus said to him, follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead. Follow me and let those who are spiritually dead bury their physically dead. Follow me, I have work for you, is what Luke's account says in Luke 9:20. In fact, turn there with me. You can leave here and go to Luke 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 59. Follow me, he says. Follow me and let those who are spiritually dead bury their dead. Follow me, I have work for you to do. Luke 9:59. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. What in the world are we waiting for, brothers and sisters? We have kingdom of God work to do. What holds us back? What holds us back? What delays our action? Jesus says, follow me and go proclaim the kingdom of God. If you want to hear God talk to you, if you want to hear God talk to you, then hear his voice well. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Following Jesus takes total commitment. He is our highest priority over everything and everyone. Is the Lord Jesus Christ our, yours, my highest of highest priorities? He says, go proclaim the kingdom of God. Total commitment. Dedicated service. So that's what we're going to look at next. Dedicated service. Dedicated service we'll find in Luke's account. So if you're not there already, then turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 57, page 868. We'll read the whole passage to get our bearings. Luke 9, 57 through 62. Our new person who wants to follow will be in 61, verse 61. Luke 9:57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me go first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Verse 61, our third person. Yet another said to him, I will follow you, Lord. But first let me say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Remember now, we're looking at dedicated service. Verse 61, yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those in my home. Lord, I will follow you later. After I say farewell to those in my household. And Jesus' reply is interesting in verse 62. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. This is actually a reference to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 through 21, if you want to write it down. 1 Kings 19, 19 through 21. This is where God told Elijah to find Elisha. And when he found him, Elisha was plowing with 12 oxen. And then verse 20 we read, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And Elijah said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? Jesus says, no one who is working looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. No one who is working and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. If we want to serve Jesus and plant the seeds of the gospel of Christ, Jesus wants us plowing forward, not looking backward. So, complete service, total commitment, and Jesus demands dedicated service. We need to be dedicated to serving him. And this is probably a good place to mention this. God chose not to disclose, he didn't disclose to us the reaction of each of these men. We don't know if the scribe decided to completely sacrifice and follow Jesus. We don't know if the son decided total commitment and followed. We don't know if the last one dedicated himself to the service of God's kingdom and followed. We don't know. But I want to say this. I've read this before and I'm going to read it again. This very familiar passage. Matthew 16, 24 through 25. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We must deny ourselves, including the losing of our lives. And the word here, the Greek word here, is psyche. It is life. It is our soul. It is our essence. It is the word we get psychology from. We must deny ourselves and lose our lives. God must be first in everything. Everything. Jesus is Lord of our lives, and we must follow him. We must follow him. Life has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with him. Everything our Lord commands us to do is based on putting God first in everything. All of our possessions and all of our relationships, God must be first in all aspects of our life. Following Jesus is about denying myself. It's not about me. Following Jesus is about denying yourselves. It is not about you. Look back at Luke 9:61. And I want to introduce yeah buts. Verse 61. Yet another said to him, I will follow you, Lord, but. But Jesus is calling them to serve him. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Almighty Creator of the universe is calling them. Yeah, but I won't have a place to sleep. Yeah, but I must bury my father. Yeah, but I want to go home and say goodbye to everyone. Jesus knows our hearts. Jesus knows everything. There were great crowds there. And this is not specifically stated in Scripture, but I have to believe that the hearts and the minds and the crowds were full of a whole lot of yeah buts. Jesus demands complete sacrifice, total commitment, and dedicated service. Does your heart and mind have any yeah buts in it? Will I follow Jesus? Yeah, but he would never ask me to do this. Yeah, what about my job? Yeah, but what about my parents, my kids, and my house? Yeah, but what about my car and my time and my health? Yeah, but what about my feelings? What about my comfort? Yeah, but what about me? What about me? Yeah, but what's mine? I've got them. I had a big one on our first Liberia trip. God was clearly leading me to go. Fred, go and serve Christ. Go with Pastor Dave and team up with him and go to Liberia and train the Liberian pastors of churches the truth about suffering. Not a small thing. Yeah, but my ears hurt on airplanes. Yeah, but where are we going to get the money for both me and Renee to go? Yeah, but what about our dogs and leaving my mom for 2 weeks? Yeah, but what about me? Where am I going to sleep? How am I going to eat? Where am I going to go to the bathroom? Brothers and sisters and kids, we must trust God and follow him. And by his grace and for the good of his people, I went, and it was amazing. It was amazing. Yeah, but what's yours? What's your yeah, but? How about the simple one of following Jesus by attending all the gatherings at Country Bible Church? We have discipleship hour at 9:45 a.m., and God wants you there. We have worship at 10:30. We have Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock. We have special Sunday evening services, and we actually have one tonight at 6 o'clock. We have special meetings, and we usually serve a meal, and we give out a lot of good information. And God wants you to be at all of those. How do I know God wants you to be at all of those? Listen now. I know God wants you to be at all of those because Jesus is at every single one of them, bar none. Jesus is there. If you're following Jesus, that is where he is. If you are following Jesus at Country Bible Church, then every one of our gatherings is where he is. Now, to be sure, there are good reasons, and there are legitimate reasons not to go. But listen now, if your conscience is seared to the point of missing whenever you feel like it, then you need to repent. Brothers and sisters, we are to have a conviction from deep within us to be with the body following Jesus and serving, and then discover the joy of being together. Brothers and sisters and kids, well, how about kids? Yeah, kids, what's your yeah buts? Parents are bringing you to Sundays and Wednesdays. Why do you think they bring you to Sundays and to Wednesdays? It's because they love you. It's because they love you and they want you to know Jesus and follow him. And you may be, yeah, but I don't feel like it. Yeah, but none of my friends at school go to church. Yeah, but I have soccer, volleyball, basketball, baseball, football, or band practice. Yeah, but my favorite superhero show is on. Namjo, Janjo, Munkin, Punkin, Duncan, eating apple pie with a stick in their eye show is on at that time. And I can't miss it, because you know you never can catch up with what happened in a show like that. Jesus. Kids, and everyone listen now. Jesus demands and he commands all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. Parents, lead your kids well in this. Yeah, buts. What yeah, buts are they learning from you? Write down the times you miss. And I'm talking to adults here. Do this. Write down the times that you miss for any opportunity to gather. If you're not here tonight at 6 o'clock, write down the reason. If you're not here on Wednesday at 6 o'clock, write down the reason. If you're not at fellowship hour next Sunday, write down the reason. Write down your yeah, but. And then find someone that loves you and will hold you accountable. And look at those reasons together. And see if they're legitimate. Do that. Kids and youth, the same for you. If you are old enough to be the decision maker on whether you're at church or not, then do the same thing I just said for the parents. Littler kids, ones that don't make that decision, I want you to turn this around a little bit, and I want you to consider obedience to your parents. Obedience to your parents. When they instruct you to do something and you don't do it, then write it down and tell your mom and dad what your yabba was and have a discussion with them. My hope and my prayer is that you will begin to get a heart conviction based on true reasons not to have done it. Let's pray together. Father, we